Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. Well, today we're going to wrap up the replay of our monthly public meeting that was held in July, and today is Representative Michael Speciale. This is third in a series. We had Senator Norm Sanderson, we had Representative Larry Pittman, and they all are bringing us legislative update reports, and today is Michael Speciale's turn. So without further delay, here is Representative Michael Speciale with a legislative update from the short session that just ended.
Good evening. I love looking out and seeing all these people here. I think of all the things you could be doing tonight besides sitting here, and it's great to know that you're here, you care, you give a darn. Let me start by saying, we got any veterans out here? Okay. Yeah, thanks for your service. I want to tie into something that, you know, when Norman was talking about local government and this and that, I want to read you something just so you understand, because a lot of people don't, and I think it's important to understand. Section 1, Article 7, the General Assembly shall provide for the organization and government and the fixing of boundaries and counties, cities and towns, and other governmental subdivisions, and, except as otherwise prohibited by this Constitution, they may give such powers and duties to the counties, the cities, and the towns, and other governmental subdivisions as it may deem advisable. We are a Dillon's Rule state. We are not a Home Rule state. The only power that the cities and the counties have is power that has been granted to them by the General Assembly. That's the way it works in North Carolina. So given what he was talking about a minute ago, and then we start thinking about all the hullabaloo about HB2, about the bathroom issues, and about some of the other things that were in the bill, it should make it easier to understand why we went in and told them this is what's going to happen, because they never had the authority to do that, to tell businesses that they had to do that in the first place. They don't have the authority to tell businesses that they have to pay specific amount of wages. So that was in HB2, that they cannot force them to pay $15 an hour. Now, the city of Charlotte can pay their people anything they want to, but you can't tell other businesses. So anyway, I just wanted to clarify that as he was going through it. Made me think about it, and it's important that North Carolinians understand that all power is vested in the General Assembly, and the General Assembly passes. We pass bills all the time giving counties and towns power to pass a rule or something that they need to do. So that's how it works here. Hey, I want to talk about something else here before we get started on this budget here. There is a bill that we passed regarding videos in police cars and body cameras, and the press is trying to make it into something that it isn't. Every time I grab the paper, I'm reading about how it's not transparent. The bill says it's not a public record. It's not this, it's not that. But if you read the bill, it says it is not a public record as in, and then it lists the general statute. What we would normally consider a public record, we have disallowed it for these videos. Now, everybody that needs access to the videos will be able to get access to the videos. If you're in the video, you'll be able to get access to the video. If you have a legal case and you need access to the video, you'll be able to get access to the video. The problem comes in, if you make it a public record, number one, then you have to keep it. So even on a small police department, and we've checked with police departments around the country, some police departments are getting rid of it. They're getting rid of their cameras because it's just too expensive, it's too time-consuming, and they're just not going to do it anymore. So we wanted to prevent that here. Okay, so we did, and I was part of the team that crafted this bill. okay? And this is why I'm telling you this, okay? If you have a need to it, the decision is made by the chief law enforcement officer. If you disagree with his decision, if he says, no, you can't have access to it, and you think you should have access to it, then you can appeal. You can go to the superior court judge, and he can force him. If he believes that you should have access, he'll give you that. What we don't need, okay, and what we can't afford is having somebody walk in there and say, I'd like every video for the last 2 weeks. Number one, that would, if we make it a public record, we've got to keep all those videos. So even if a police officer goes 8 hours on his shift and there's been nothing going on, you got to keep that video. You've got to catalog it. You've got to store it. You've got to redact if there were anything in there, any privacy things, this or that. You've got to go through it before you can give it to anybody. It's a financial nightmare, okay? And it's almost bankrupting some smaller police departments around the country. So this is why this is a start. The laws regarding this are going to continue to morph, but this was a start because North Carolina had no laws on it, and every department that was trying this was doing their own thing. And some of them were being sued because they didn't keep this stuff longer than 30 days unless there was a criminal case involved or something. And the town next to them, their police department, kept it for 60 days. So we tried to get some uniformity. We tried to keep it from the cost from getting ridiculous. It's going to continue to morph. We'll probably see a bill on it every year tweaking this or tweaking that. But the bottom line is there was no intent to keep it from the public, but we cannot, we just simply as a state cannot afford to spend millions of your dollars storing this stuff. And if you have anything to do with storing and retrieval of this type of data, you know that it gets expensive real quick. And especially when you're talking about hundreds of hours, thousands of hours, or tens of thousands of hours of video. So anyway, I just wanted to cover that. It was a good bill. I voted against it because they put something in it about about giving needles to druggies, the drug users, and I just didn't agree with that. I did get them to take out the part where it was going to be paid for by the taxpayers, and then I still didn't vote for it. And the sponsor came up and said, "Mike, I thought you were going to vote for this bill." I said, "Yeah, no, I couldn't do it." So, anyway, I didn't tell him I would. I just told him I didn't like that part, and he took it out. So. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit. So that was the body camera. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the budget. Okay, I know it's not probably a burning desire for everybody sitting in here to want to know what we did, but the bottom line is we need to let you know what we've done with your money. We had a $22.3 billion appropriations act this year. That there was an expected surplus. There's an expected surplus of $425 million. I know this is a nonpartisan organization, but I'm going to tell you I'm a Republican. I don't think they're scared to say they're Republicans. And I'll tell you what, I'm proud to be up there at this point in time because I think we've done some really good things over the last few years. From 1994 until 1998, Republicans controlled the House of Representatives. Those 4 years. They didn't control the Senate, those 4 years, there was a budget surplus, a rainy day fund, okay, of between $400 and $700 million each of those 4 years. There wasn't one before that. And the very year that they lost control of the House and it went back to the Democrats, all of that money disappeared. And we've been in the hole ever since. Up until 5-6 years ago, again, when the Republicans again took control, and they've been building that rainy day fund so that when we have a catastrophic hurricane or we have something, we've got money. And as Senator Sanderson was telling you, we require cities and counties to keep an 8% reserve, 8% of their budget in reserve. And so it only made sense that the state do the same thing. If it's a good idea for them, why wouldn't it be a good idea for us? So we're at 7.5%. So on the next budget, we'll be at that 8% mark, and you can rest assured that we shouldn't have problems. We should have the money if there's an emergency. The rest of the country Washington has taken this country, we all know, down the wrong path. But I'll tell you what, North Carolina is in pretty darn good shape. Affirmed once again within the last few weeks, North Carolina was affirmed as a AAA rating. Only nine states that have a AAA rating in this country, and North Carolina is one of them.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break right here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back to hear from Michael Speciale after the break. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Once again, we have Representative Michael Speciale with a legislative update. This was recorded at our monthly public meeting in July, and here is Michael Speciale.
North Carolina is growing at the rate of about 281 people per day. There's the $22.3 billion Appropriation Act increased by 2.8%, which is less than population growth and the rate of inflation, which would be the taxpayer bill of rights that we for years have been trying to get, which we never got, but it doesn't matter. That's what we're living under. That's what we're working with to stay under those numbers. And we have succeeded for the last 6 years that Republicans have been in control. They have succeeded in keeping it below the rate of inflation and population growth, which most of the states would love to be able to do, but a lot of them have been unsuccessful. Education funding. How many educators we got in here? Teachers? Just the one? Figures. When there's good news, they're never around. Okay. We increased education funding by $512 million. Why am I going to tell you this about education if you're not educators? Because you're not going to hear it in the papers. And what you're going to hear continually is that the Republican General Assembly is gutting education. I love when I read that phrase. It's just, it makes me crazy. But we increased it by $512 million. That means over the last 6 years, we have increased funding to education by $2 billion. We're boosting teacher salaries by $190 million, which brings them above the average of the average teacher pay will now, for the first time in history, be over $50,000. $50,168, to be specific. That's the average pay. When you consider, and the one thing to consider, when you look at these numbers from state to state, and they say North Carolina is ranked over here with the other states, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that North Carolina is one of the fastest growing states in the Union. Okay? 3 years ago we had 8 million people, now we're 11 million. Okay, we're getting people, which means we've got to increase spending, we've got to increase teachers, which means we have one of the youngest teacher forces in the country, which brings down the average rate of pay. If a lot of them are starting teachers or within the first few years, the average teacher pay, that's why the average teacher pay is not a good scale to look at or to compare by. Some of the other states where they don't have a lot of population growth, they've got teachers that have been, 20 years ago, North Carolina had teachers, if you asked most of them how long they've been there, it's been 15 or more years. Now if you ask them, it's in 1 to 5 year range. Okay, that brings the average pay down because you don't have so many people at the top getting the big bucks. So it's good that we're raising it. Within the next 3 years, average teacher pay will be right about $55,000. School-based administrators are going to get a 1.55 Sackart Upcrease Abbott. That's what you get when you're not paying attention to what you're typing. They're going to get 1.5% pay raise plus a 0.5% bonus. It fully funds enrollment growth by adding $47.8 million to school funding. I want you to, when you hear a teacher complaining about getting paid or an educator, I want you to try to remember some of the stuff so you can say, no, you're done complaining. We've been doing this every year. We're creating a two-year pilot for third grade reading teacher performance bonuses. We're increasing funding of instructional materials by $2.5 million, bringing total funding to $47 million. We're increasing funding for textbooks and digital supplies by $10 million. We're increasing funding by textbooks and digital supplies by $10 million. I repeated it twice. Why? Because we were asked a few years ago, about 3 years ago, by DPI, don't put so much money into textbooks. Put it into digital. So we did what they asked. And when session was over, as soon as the budget was done, the first thing we saw in the paper, in the newspapers, and on the TV is that we gutted textbooks. Schools are complaining they don't have enough textbooks. Okay, so we said, okay, we're not doing that anymore. So we've been putting money back into it and into digital. We created a 5-county pilot program for teachers' assistants wishing to get their teacher certification. North Carolina teachers have received more pay raises since 2013 than any state in the union. We guaranteed no in-state tuition increases for a standard undergraduate college term at all North Carolina public universities. The way it's set up now, you start college, what it costs you to go to start is what it will cost you when you're in your last semester. If there's going to be raises, it'll affect people coming to the new people coming to the university, enrolling, which I think we'd all agree that's a smart way to go, so people can know what to expect that they have to pay. It lowers tuition to $500 a semester at 3 universities: at Elizabeth City State University, at UNC Pembroke, and at Western Carolina University. Economic development provides an immediate $145 million tax cut this year, provides $205 million tax cut for 2017 for you. Increases the 0% tax bracket by $2,000 over the next 2 years. You know that we went, how many here do not know that we went to a flat tax a couple years ago? Is there anybody here didn't know? I'm not trying to ridicule you. I'm just curious if anybody did not know. Okay. Yeah, we went from a progressive rate where it was between 6% and 7.75%. There's three different rates. About 3 years ago, we went to a flat tax. Everybody pays the same rate, at the time it was 5.8. Then it went down to 5.75, and I think this year it went down to 5.499. What we're trying to do is get rid of the income tax. Okay, in order to do that, it's going to take a combination of cutting spending, which we're doing, not as much as I'd like to see, but we're doing it, and broadening the sales tax base. In other words, there's a lot of deals that have been made over the years. Backroom deals about we're going to exempt you and we're going to exempt this corporation and we're going to exempt this industry from sales taxes. If everybody paid sales taxes, every industry had sales taxes like they should, we'd be able to get rid of the income tax a long time ago. But as we do this, and again, it was something I heard Senator Sanderson say, we want to make sure we put it in the Constitution that regardless of whether we get to zero or not, we want it in the Constitution that says that the General Assembly cannot raise your taxes over 5%, your personal income tax, so that if we lose control and it goes back to the other side, they still will not be able to go over at that level. So we're still working on that. That'll be another bill that'll come up next year. A lot of good bills didn't make it this year. But next year, it's open season. It's a long term. You're going to see a lot of dumb bills up there. Those are the ones I laugh about and I have fun with. But you see a lot of good bills.
Okay, let's pause right here and take another short break to hear from our sponsors. That's how we are able to bring you these shows, is by working with our sponsors. And we so much appreciate them. We urge you to visit our sponsors and support them. So we'll be back to hear the conclusion of Michael Speciale's legislative update right after this. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. As promised, we're going to hear the conclusion of the legislative update presentation by Representative Michael Speciale.
Highway Trust Fund, you know that we quit taking money out of that. Highway fund revenues are up 5.2%. Highway trust fund revenues are up 4.5%. That's due to previous fee changes. If you remember last year, a lot of your DMV, matter of fact, everything with DMV went up, your licenses, your whatever. Okay, that money is going, just so you know, if you hadn't been told, that money is earmarked for roads. All of those increases were earmarked for roads. That's why there's more money in transportation now. New and used auto sales, the more cars they sell, the more taxes they bring in. That helps. That brought it up, and there's been some other reasons. The ferries, for now, it's a dead issue. The ones that are not being told will not be told. The ones that are being told will continue to be told. Everything's going to stay the way it is. The funding formula has been changed to where now the money to repair and replace those ferries will come out of the general budget, the general funds. So hopefully we put an end to that thing. Property rights. We ended the MAP Act. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the MAP Act. One of the most important things I think that we do up there, one of our biggest responsibilities to you, is to preserve your rights, to protect your rights. And the MAP Act was an egregious violation of personal property rights. DOT would come up with a map that they say, well, within the next 2 decades, we want to put a corridor here. We want to put a highway here. And so they come up with these maps. Basically, it kind of encumbers your property. If you have property there, you can't build on it. You can't do a lot of things. You can't do anything that would make the property more valuable because at some point DOT wants it and they're not going to pay that premium price. So it's made it hard to sell property that's been in those corridors. It's made it hard to improve properties in those corridors. This has been going on for a couple of decades, isn't it? Yeah. We killed it this year. It's done. One of the things that we'd been asked to do, that he asked us to do, was give you some possibilities of things that we might be able to do next time or things that we would look at trying to do. So I've come up with my own list of things that I'm looking at, and some of them are in conjunction with him and possibly with the senator. I know he would agree to some of it. But these are my ideas, okay, for self-defense. Again, we already know about, we're looking at trying to get constitutional carry through. Ending the permit to purchase handguns is another possibility. Ending concealed carry, constitutional carry through, ending the concealed carry permit requirements a possibility. Lengthening the concealed carry permit time is one thing I would like to do. Okay, and I will probably put in a bill on that because even if we go to constitutional carry, we will still have that option for you to get a concealed carry permit. Because you would need it if you're a frequent traveler and you go through other states. You need some kind of proof that they're going to require it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, but that's all the time we have for today's show, and that was pretty much the end of what Michael had to share with us. We want to thank Representative Michael Speciale, Representative Larry Pittman, and Senator Norm Sanderson for joining us in July at our public meeting to give you a legislative update. It's always a pleasure to hear from our representatives what they're working on and what's going on in Raleigh. If you are just finding out about CCTA, that's Coastal Carolina's Taxpayers Association, please go to cctaxpayers.com where you can get more information about our monthly meetings and other things that we offer at CCTA. Well, that's it for today. We'll see you again next week, same time, same place.